Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Frontrunner Podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Marshall. Today on the podcast, we have a frontrunner joining us, Brian DeCure. This is part two of a two-part discussion that I had with Brian DeCure. If you have not already listened to part one, please don't go any further in this episode. Go back, listen to part one, then come back and listen to the second part of this episode. In our discussion, we talk about what it takes to be a business owner. He opens up about his challenging journey of becoming an attorney and business owner and lessons he learned after experiencing failure after failure. Here is Frontrunner, episode four. Praise the Lord. My name is Isaiah Marshall, and you are listening to Frontrunner, my podcast, where I will be interviewing friends who are frontrunners, the underdogs who dare to take risks, who bet on themselves, who run their own race, who run to win. They lead their lives from the front, and as they say in track and field, they leave it all on the track. Let's go. Man, you have a powerful story. Just the way you persevered, the way you were resilient and just never gave up. That don't quit attitude, because as you mentioned, man, it's easy for us to kind of, so we experience a challenge and then we just want to give up.
Yeah.
We just want to go in a different direction because maybe that was hard. But what your story is showing us, like, man, just persevere. Just stay in there. Don't quit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, and I don't want to say I've learned this, but like one of the things that over the years I think I've built up is going back to that failure attitude is, you know, I'd rather regret doing something and failing at it than regret giving up, you know, like later regret that I didn't do it because I gave up about it. Yes, sir. And so I think that's the sort of the trade-off there is, okay, you know, you can give up, but you might have some feelings about that later. You might, you might not be able to let that go. And so I'd rather, I don't want to say look like a fool for continuing to fail at something, but really, if you look at athletics, I mean, it's just consistent failure over and over and over and over again. I mean, look at baseball players. They hit the ball a third of the time. They're getting paid millions of dollars and they hit the ball a third of it. If you're hitting the ball a third of the time, you're actually really a really good batter.
You're good, right?
Yeah, you're great. And so So what that means is 2/3 of the time, they're not hitting the ball.
Man,
that's
a good analogy.
It's crazy. I mean, it's when you start thinking about it that way, because it really does apply to our lives.
Right. Yeah. But it's not like this, you know, when you say this failure mentality or this mindset, it's not like you go in expecting to fail.
Right.
But like you mentioned earlier, it's like with anything, you're taking risks.
Yeah.
Knowing with that risk, there is that potential to fail.
Right. Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's like, but learning from that, those setbacks, but just continuing. And just like you, that baseball analogy, if you hit the ball a third of the time,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, but you got to keep swinging.
Right.
Though.
Yep. Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
You got to keep swinging, man. That's good. So, but you mentioned throughout your process and your journey and taking the test and, you know, not passing it and watching other people pass and, you know, do their thing. And so it's easy for us, you know, we strive and we desire, we have dreams and we pursue things. But when we look out and we see other people doing some big things, you know what I mean? Like you're a podcaster, you see, you know, this podcaster having all these followers and having this success. And it's like, but then we start, you know, we find ourselves in those positions, just like you could have found yourself in that position and seeing other people passing and being successful in that.
Yeah.
And it's like, but then we start minimizing ourselves.
That's right.
It's like, well, I'm not doing something right, or what I'm doing is, it doesn't matter. And we kind of devalue ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you, or did you, and do you now just keep yourself from falling into this comparison trap?
Yeah.
In other words, how do you stay focused on running your race?
Yeah, that's really hard sometimes. And I will say that one of my favorite quotes is comparison is the thief of joy. I think Roosevelt said that. And, you know, ultimately, you do really have to realize that there's always going to be someone better, faster, stronger, You know, there's just always going to be that. Even if you become the champion of the world, you know, somebody's going to be at some point is going to be faster than you, is going to break your record, is going to do all the things that you want to, you know, they're going to make more money than you, you know, they're going to pass the exam quicker, or better yet, there's always going to be somebody who you perceive that it comes easier to them, that maybe they didn't have to take the risks that you had to take, or that they're not, they didn't have to work as hard as you had to work. And I think the only way you come to that conclusion is by comparing yourself to them. Now, you know, obviously there's some times when we can't avoid a comparison, obviously athletics, that's what competition is about, is competing with somebody else. But really, do you look at, I mean, I don't say this, does anybody look at the people who lost in the Super Bowl and say, man, those are losers. Those guys are all losers. Right. Like, well, no, they were playing at their highest level and the highest game in that sport.
So did
they win? No. But, you know, the fact is that the only way that you come up with the fact that they're losers is by comparing them to the other team and saying
the team that won.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And if they compare themselves now, does the emotional aspect of that, is that hard to accept? Yeah. But any athlete will tell you, you know, the sooner you can get over that, the better. Mm-hmm. So
they say you got to have a short term memory.
Yeah. Yeah. Golf's a good example, because, you know, they like Tiger Woods has talked about, you hit a bad shot, it's gone. That's it. You're done with it. That's in the past. And nothing in the past is going to be good for you if you dwell on it. And you don't want the past to affect that future shot. So the next shot, okay, now what do I have to do to make that shot better? So in a way, golf is an interesting sport in that it's almost like a repeating of short-term memory. It's like, you know, even if the shot was great, you don't want to come up to the ball and say, oh, well, yeah, I've got this. I don't even have to try.
Yeah.
You're going to know this is a different shot. This is a different
shot. Right. This is new. Yeah,
exactly. And you could really look at that in terms of, you know, on a daily basis. It's like, hey, this is a different day. Like yesterday I felt like I did great. So, but you still got to bring it the next day.
Yes, sir. Man, you know, if for me, in being a track and field athlete, one of the game changers for me was just shifting my mindset from like not striving to be the best, but trying to strive to be my best.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's a difference. Not saying that I would go in expecting to lose.
Yes.
But for me, I just want to run my best.
Yes. Yeah.
Anytime I stepped on a track, if I could get a personal record.
Yeah.
You know, for me, that's a win.
Yeah.
And it's like just running and doing my best and leaving it all on the track. And, you know, we just have to have that mindset to just keep pressing forward.
Yeah. The other thing I will say is you have to shut out. You have to shut out the haters. And I'll say this. When I was playing football, I didn't play football for very long, but I played football all the way through middle school and high school. And I was never very good at it, but I played and I put a helmet on and I hit people. But but one of my coaches told me one time in practice, he said, hey, DeCure, you know, I just want to let you know, you're not very big, but you're slow.
Wow.
And I said, thanks, coach. You know, so I guess my point with that story is part of this whole process is again, there's going to be people, again, going back to that, is everyone going to like Isaiah Marshall? Is everyone going to like Brian DeCure? No, you know, and that's okay. You know, but everybody in the world doesn't have to like me. They don't have to listen to what I have to say. They don't have to, you know, they can just say, I don't like the way you part your hair, Brian, you know? And that's okay. That's their right. But what I need to do in order to move forward and what I need to do in order to be my best is to forget about that, is to put that off to the side. And so that coach, you know, that was discouraging for a high school student, but at the same time,
I imagine so.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where you have to learn to shut that out and say, okay, well, I'll show you, you know, and
use that as a, you know, to kind of fuel the fire inside of you.
Yeah. Like, and maybe that was his attempt. I mean, maybe that was his intent.
Maybe so.
You know, maybe he was like, I'm going to do this, see if I can get a rise out of him and get him moving on the field here. But, but I don't know if that's the greatest approach, but at the same time, you do have to learn how to deal with those things, deal with the criticism and other things. So
shutting out the haters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good word, man. Now, to kind of close our time, and we've been having some great, great dialogue.
Yeah, awesome.
I'd like to call this last segment, you know, just some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So things, you know, I'll throw out some questions and you just kind of answer, you know,
sure,
from your heart, off the top of your head. And
okay.
So we'll go. When challenges arise in your life, who or where do you look to sustain you and help you get through?
So when challenges arise in my life, I probably go to family a lot. I turn to faith, you know, and basically what, you know, trying to meditate and pray and try to figure out, you know, if I can hear something that maybe I'm, well, actually I take it back. Listen, I just want to listen, because it's not about hearing. It's about opening your ears and listening, and it'll come.
It's sort of a lost art, the listening, you know.
Yes. I
mean? we feel like we got to talk, and
that's right,
share. But man, let's listen. That's good. Okay. So what are two or three things that you appreciate most about yourself?
Two or three things I appreciate about myself, that I'm honest. I pride myself in trying to be as upfront and honest with people as possible. That's been a struggle with me in the past, not dishonesty, but just not wanting to look like a fool.
Yes, sir.
I feel like one of the things that I have is I have an untapped mental strength that even sometimes surprises me. So, and usually that comes out with athletic pursuits and me going to the gym now, trying to challenge myself in certain things. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, it comes out in weird ways, but it basically, I feel good about it. And then sometimes I surprise myself because I didn't realize that I had that potential. And then I got through it.
Wow. It's like learning things about yourself. It's like,
yeah,
wow, that's good. So what do you want to be known for?
I want to be known for somebody who is always of service. And I don't mean of service just to get paid money. You know, I want to be looked at like I was here to use whatever gifts I was given, to use the knowledge that I have, and to do all those things in service of others.
Yes, sir.
And honestly, at the end of the day, obviously everybody needs to put food on the table, and we all need to make a certain amount of money in order to feed our families and everything else. But it's not a motivator for me. What's a motivator for me is being involved with people and having you know, having relationships with people and connections with people, that are deeper. Man, and so, good. Yeah,
man, that's good. Now, when you think about that, you talk about relationships and connection.
Mm-hmm.
How important are friendships and being in community to you?
Oh, I thrive in community. So me being relatively extroverted, as you probably know, I need that human interaction. I think the worst punishment you could give me would be put me in a room and shut the door and take me away from relationships and other people. Wow. Because I need that. I feel like I need that interaction, not necessarily for business purposes or for anything else, but even this right now, this is feeding me. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I need. It's also part of my learning process is being able to talk to people. You might not know, you know, simple conversations, you might not glean a lesson out of that, but later all of a sudden it sticks with you for some reason, or you know, in order to have those interactions, you have to have all the interactions.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's good, man. Now, what is bringing you joy right now?
Bringing me joy right now. Let's see here. That's a really good question. I feel like I've been working quite a long time on being a business owner and being all these things. And I feel like I'm finally starting to get, I mean, it seems like a long time, 18 years to be in business, but finally starting to get, like, I feel like I know that I can help people. Like, I really, really feel comfortable that I can help people in a tremendous way. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that I've actually become more comfortable with, if you don't want to do business with me, or if you don't want to interact with me, that's okay, because I know that I could help you, but I also know that you don't have to take my help. You don't have to want Brian DeCure to help you. Mm. And so the two things almost have melted together a little bit, in that one has helped me get more comfortable with the other.
Yes, sir.
Is that it's allowed me to get more comfortable with the fact that, you know, when you know you can help someone, when you know you have something that is of value to them, then ultimately you do the best that you can and you offer it. And if they reject it, or they say, no, I don't really need that, or don't want that from you, then you say, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, and it's no hurt feelings. No, it's not personal against Brian DeCure. It's not anything like that. It's just, hey, they don't want that. And here's what I do say, even for my clients that pay me, if there's somebody who you have that you feel like you would have a better relationship with as an attorney or a financial advisor or anything else that I do for people, then I encourage that person, at the detriment of my own business, I encourage that person to go find that other person. And the reason why I do that is because I would rather you be with somebody that's going to give you the maximum amount of help. So I feel like the best thing I can do to serve you in that role,
yeah,
is to make sure you're with the right person, even if that person's not me.
Wow. Not a lot of people do that.
it's sometimes harder than others, but I will say that I really do believe that. I really do believe that you should have a doctor that you trust. You should have a financial advisor you trust. You should have a lawyer that you trust. And if that's not me, then that's okay.
Yes, sir.
But definitely getting somebody in front of somebody that you can have a great relationship with.
That's good, man. Now, if you can recall, what is the biggest compliment you've ever received?
Biggest compliment I've ever received. I feel like, I don't know that I can think of like the biggest compliment, but I will say that there's been a few that have stuck with me over the years. And, I think one of them is just, somebody told me once that I was a magnet for good people.
Wow.
It didn't necessarily, it almost wasn't a direct compliment to me. It was almost like, hey, I like you, Brian, but I also see that people are just attracted to you for some reason. And I don't mean that in like, any kind of way, you know, but I'm saying like, you know, that's the kind of person that I want to be. Wow. I want to be around good people. I want to help those people. I want those people to help me and feed my soul. And so for somebody to say that, it really, really sort of struck me. Mm. So, yeah.
That's good, man. Now, what does winning look like and what does it mean to you?
Mm. Yeah. So interesting thing with me is I'm a very low level competitive person. Like, I am not into win-lose situations.
Okay.
So winning looks like to me is we both win.
Mm.
So because I'm not in athletics, of course, you know, when you have a metric like in athletics, obviously there's a winner and a loser.
Right.
But in terms of real life, what I see as winning in life is if I can get as many people around me to win, then that's winning to me. Is, like I said, you know, people that are, you know, people that I serve and people that I help, it's like, I want them to win. And on a partial level, that helps me to win as well. You know, in business, if I help you get what you want, then that's probably going to help my business out. You're probably going to send other people to my business. You're probably, you know, basically that's, I want to have a good relationship. And that's sort of what, going back to the question, a couple of questions ago, sort of what's happening in my business now is I've been in business long enough now that that I've had interactions with years ago,
wow,
are saying, hey, I just sent you like two or three people were talking to me and they said, I need to get this done, whatever that might be. Wow. And they say, hey, I gave them your number. Just just for the heads up, in case you get a call, that's where those people came from. And that's awesome. The biggest honor to me at all, that they thought highly enough of me to share, you know, to share me and say, I know he did a good job for me, so I know he's going to do a good job for you.
Man, so. I think that's powerful. Like, just that whole notion, winning to you is that, you know, everybody winning. Like,
yes,
we all winning.
Yeah.
I know, you know, in our culture, man, too much of it is my winning has to be at the expense of other people. Like, other people, there has to be losers. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And it's not, you know, hopefully we can get to this collective idea, like, we all can win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
well, it's the difference between a finite, you know, like when you talk about, you know, the pieces of the pie, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, the idea is, okay, you got a pie and there's only a certain amount of that pie. And in my book, hey, if everybody's getting a slice of that pie and we need more pie, the pie just gets bigger. We need to make the pie bigger. So how do we make the pie bigger?
Yes, sir.
You know, and that goes for everything, you know, just how do we make it so that it's not you get to take something and you're taking something away from someone else. It's that you get to take something and everybody else gets to take something too. And so I think many things are like that. I think sometimes when competition can get in the way is that exact thing is when you start to talk about, hey, in order for me to win, you have to lose.
Mm.
And in order for me to take this, that means I have to take it away from you. Right. And so I try to always view things in terms of, okay, so, you know, let's make the pie bigger. How do we make the pie bigger?
That's good, man. It's a good word. That's an encouragement, certainly for all of us, man. That's like, you know, in serving, like we, you know, we serve and we help other people win. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
when you're in a position of in a posture of serving, it's like, you want to see other people do well as well.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Treat others as you would like to be treated.
That's right. So that's right.
The golden rule. And so, man, that's a good word. Brian, man, I appreciate the discussion we have. And it's
very
encouraging.
This has been great.
You know, just your wisdom and the gems that you dropped is just, you know, helpful for me as I navigate and as I continue to pursue the creative ventures and endeavors that I have trying to pursue as well. Just that, you know.
Well, you know that I'm a
I was gonna say just the you know, just looking at your story and how you've overcome, it's like, man, just the perseverance, the resiliency, and just that don't quit attitude is something that I certainly want to adopt in my life as I continue to strive to be all who God has created me to be.
Well, and you know that I've been a long-term supporter of Isaiah. So, you know, I just want to see Isaiah and Isaiah's family succeed and grow. Yes. And, you know, like I said, I think bigger things and better things and, you know, everything. I just wish all the best for you. And
I appreciate it. I receive that. I receive it. And we know that you are a podcaster. Like how?
Yeah. Yeah.
Podcast. How can people follow you? And
yeah, actually, our 50th episode is about to release in about a week, July 21st. And so we've been podcasting. It's a podcast called Help Yourself. So it has a very, very self-help kind of theme. You know, we talk about sort of philosophy, and I don't want to say it's philosophy, but it's like loose philosophy, meaning, you know, the idea behind it is two guys get together, have lunch, maybe talk about what you're having for lunch a little bit, and then just talk about, it's like two friends getting together, sort of like we just did right here.
Yes,
and, sir. So yeah, just look for it out there. Help Yourself. It's Food and Philosophy with Brian and Nick, my partner, you know, Nick Sager. Is we've been doing this since November, 2020. So we're pushing 2 years here and our 50th episode. Yeah. It's just, stick-to-itiveness, you know, just keep it going. So, but it's fun. We have a fun time, and I'd be happy if anybody took a listen and they got something out of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, for blessing us and for edifying us. I mean, there's a lot that we can learn from your story. And there's a lot of value added. And I know the listeners will be blessed, to hear your story for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks again for having me.
I pray that you all were blessed by our discussion as Brian DeCuir was dropping some gems. A couple of things I took away from our discussion that can add value to our lives is from our discussion of failure and what Brian described as the failure attitude. This attitude is not a desire to fail or going into something expecting to fail. This attitude is understanding that failure is a normal life experience, and it is part of the journey. The sooner we can recognize this, the better we'll be, because it releases us from the fear of failure. There is growth in failure. It produces perseverance and resiliency in us so that we can continue to run to win. Follow the Frontrunner Podcast and share with a friend. Also, follow me on Instagram at TheIsaiahMarshall. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which can be found in the show notes. And while you are at it, be sure to check out all of my released spoken word poetry projects anywhere you stream music. Thank you for supporting my creative journey. This is the Frontrunner Podcast. Until next time, bless you.
I take my risks. That's why I beat the odds. Beat the odds. I'm running. I'm out front running. Oh, yeah. Front running. I'm out front running. I run with him. That's why I run with him. Run with him. No looking back. I leave it on the track. Oh.